you, it's below 110 for the high today after an excessive heat watch for a full week. And the Weather Service put out a bunch of statistics this morning about the all-time record highs at reporting stations around southern Arizona. And I think it was like 20, over 20 all-time record highs. So hopefully we're on our way down, well, down to 108. So I don't know how much we'll be able to tell the difference. Bill Buckmaster with you. Ray Allen is on the other side of the glass. Ray had a great weekend, and I'm sure he is all raring to go. He usually is on a Monday. It is the 26th of June, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got you covered with our live streaming at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and it kicks you over to kvoi.com. So we got the live stream on both places. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, certainly no shortage of topics today on our Monday political face-off, which is the way we start our day here on the Buckmaster Show with a different team of commentators. This week, Bruce Ash seated to my right. Mr. Ash in his fourth term, fourth four-year term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Dr. Don Jorgensen rejoining us after a little while off. It's always good to see Don, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
Great, thank you. It's was back east for a couple of weeks, so
yeah,
I'm a
New
contrarian.
York, if you thought it was hot here, when you take in the misery index in New York City, it wasn't
goodness.
Good, was it?
No, I say I'm. Even though it was 147 here or whatever it is,
yeah.
I'm glad to be back in the land of low humidity.
Oh. And Bruce Ash, nice to see you. Were over at the Dodger game over the weekend.
Thank you. I was. The Dodgers have now won 10. Games in a row, and I think 15 out of the last 16 games. They don't seem to be able to shake the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're only 2.5 games in back of them. It's interesting. The leader and the second place team in the National League West actually has a better record than I think three of the six divisions in Major League Baseball right now.
And this love of Dodgers began as a child growing up here in Tucson, listening to the Dodger games. I think they were probably on, I'm going to take a guess, KTUC.
They sure were. And I would listen with my transistor radio.
1400 at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still are.
Yeah, no, I think they are still.
Okay, but they were Vince Scully and the
If
the
you
Dodgers.
Grew up with Vince Scully like I did, you know, you became a Dodger fan for life. And, you know, I used to listen with the transistor radio, you know, underneath my pillow so my parents
sure.
wouldn't know that I was staying up until 10 o'clock at night to listen to the games. But I love the Dodgers, and it was great being at the ballpark. We actually had to leave the ballpark before the real fireworks started. We were down 6-4. And we left, I think, in the beginning of or middle of the seventh inning because we had to catch a train to get back down to San Diego. And on the way to the train station, you know, the action started, and
yeah,
all of a sudden,
heard the crowd.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden, you know, with I think there were four pass balls or something, the game quickly got out of hand for the Rockies.
And Don, you grew up with Boston
I
baseball.
Did. Yeah, grew up in New England, lifelong Red Sox fan.
Listening on WBZ.
Ken Coleman, Mel Parnell, and Ned Martin.
While I was listening to Cub games on WGN, and of course Harry Carey, and then on the TV side it was Jack Brickhouse. So Cub fans understand Brickhouse back, gone. But those were great days. Ernie Banks and the Cubs never seemed to do very well, so. They're
back to doing not so well this year. They dropped below 500 yesterday.
Well, anyway, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don, was this disappointing to see the United States Supreme Court basically rule in favor of the Trump administration, not the whole deal, but a lot of the deal?
Now, they watered it down, about half the deal with regard to the travel ban. Basically, they're allowing the ban against folks coming in from the six Muslim majority countries, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen, unless they have what's called a bona fide relationship, either with person or an entity in the U.S., like a school or a job waiting. On the rest of it, the Supreme Court says they'll wait and rule in the fall. So it comes back to the question of the president having an almost unbridled authority to restrict who is allowed to enter the country versus the constitutional principle that says a government cannot favor or disfavor any one religion. And that's the crux of the argument.
What do you think, Mr. Ash?
It was a good decision today, Bill and Don. I think the security of our country, of the homeland, is something that's extraordinarily important to all Americans. And the Supreme Court, I think, is on the right road. The obstruction that's come really in a counter argument, to what the Constitution has to say, was fairly clear for the justices to see through. And I'm hoping that in the fall this matter will get sorted out. Don, I suspect, and I know you're not a lawyer, nor am I guess all of the districts, I think there were three districts around the country who had raised objections to the travel ban. I think all of those arguments now will be taken care of. Whether they're part of this ruling today, they'll all be sort of disposed of one way or another come the fall, I suspect.
I suspect so. I think that's part of the reason they are delaying that the section to the fall to encompass all of those appeals court rulings.
Well, health care is something I definitely wanted to get into for most of the face-off today. But then, of course, the travel ban news came this morning, so I wanted to get a quick comment from each of you. But when it comes to the health care thing, is this something, Bruce Ash, that you think will get done, or are you fearing it won't get done?
Well, if I could, Bill, just real quickly back to the Supreme Court for half a moment.
Ahead.
And that is some of the discussion in the last few days, now that the session has ended, that perhaps Judge Kennedy won't return
I've been reading about that.
Or will retire soon. Mm-hmm. So that will kind of further change the reflection of the court in some respects. And there was another ruling today on Trinity Lutheran. This was a case where churches had been restricted from getting federal funds, and the court ruled in a 7-2 verdict that they could receive funds in some cases. And I thought it was interesting that the two dissenting opinions, Sotomayor and Bader Ginsburg, were kind of left out, very isolated on this. And in fact, Judge Sotomayor actually read her dissent in front of the court. There's another case that looks like we're going to get a decision on soon. This is the bakery case we'll hear about soon, I suspect. So there's a lot of activity in the court this session, and a lot more to come up. And really, kind of to get back to healthcare, part of the reason that we're where we are today was a Supreme Court decision. I guess now it's probably at least 2 years, maybe 3 years ago. When the court declined to rule Obamacare, certain sections of it, which would have pretty much crippled the act, Justice Roberts and others declined to declare them unconstitutional. We have a very serious problem in this country, and there are several states that are impacted, and counties around the country that are left either with no options at all. There's no insurance individuals can acquire, or hundreds of counties and localities around the country, Don and Bill, where there's no choice. So there's one provider, and the rates and the coverages are pretty extreme in terms of the impact on consumers.
Well, the problems are clear. The answers are not, and certainly not in this bill. But I want to jump back to those two. That the church ruling you mentioned was a very narrow one. And even the court said that. It doesn't apply in general to the church versus state issue. The other on the travel ban, I just want to share a story that gives at least me a little different view on it. I was in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago for the Rotary International Convention. 40,000 people from around the world.
Are you wearing a Rotary thing on your – is that
– I am not. This
the
is
logo?
Where my daughter works
New
York.
All right. I couldn't see real good from here.
Yeah. and as Bruce knows
– Rotary's a great organization.
These are folks from around the world dedicated to conflict resolution, peace, eradicating disease. We had many people there from – Muslim-majority countries who would now not be able to come based on this travel ban, who only want to do good in the world. So this sweeps up not according to this. Unless
no,
if they don't have ties
incorrect.
To an entity, it is correct. And so that's the challenge here. And it's going to put, again, burden on the airports and the security agents. So it's created turmoil again with, I think, an ill-considered ban that's targeted at a religion.
We'll take our break right here. It's 12:15 on the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, conveniently located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. We'll be right back with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash, 790-2040, if you'd like to call in and join us. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, our mid-year economic report card from University of Arizona economic forecaster Dr. George Hammond, plus the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. It's all happening noon to 1 on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here, and Don Jorgensen. Want to get into this healthcare issue a little bit, Don Jorgensen. Who are the winners and losers in this thing as far as you see? Will everybody be a loser if, do you feel, if nothing, if this deal isn't done?
If the deal isn't done.
Isn't done.
You know, in a large sense, the American people are losing out. And I take that back even to before Obamacare, because no matter what side you're on, what party you're in, I think we all want three things with regard to medical coverage. We're all looking at wanting access to care, better access to care, better outcomes, and lower cost. Mm-hmm. None of those things are happening. Obamacare improved access to care. It lowered costs for poor and middle-income folks, but there are problems with it. And because of laws that the Republicans have passed, it made that more difficult, decimated in some ways, sabotaged it in other ways, et cetera. This bill we have now in front of the Senate does none of those things. It simply benefits the most wealthy in the country. It's a transfer of wealth bill that's taking that from middle class and poor families and handing massive tax cuts to the rich and breaks to the drug companies and insurance industries. If you look at the tax cuts that will be given to the richest 400 families in America, that number alone would provide all the Medicaid coverage for 750,000 people in America. That's all that's happening. It's creating a market where poor people will have to pay more for less health insurance with no improvement in outcomes.
Well, let me burst Don's balloon just a little bit. The tax cuts that Don refers to have to do with special Obamacare tax surcharges that were placed upon all taxpayers when the act was passed. They're not tax cuts. They are they're not tax breaks either. They are merely returning back to what the tax situation was before Obamacare was passed. The outcome that none of us want to have on our record as we go forward, Don and Bill, is that we could be left with this giant sucking sound, which is Obama crashing and burning, which it has been doing in many states and many localities. And when the Democrats passed their bill, they had this secret, you know, kind of conference that they did. There was very little debate.
That's not true. 14
Republican,
months
wait just a second,
debate.
Don. Let me finish.
Well, tell the truth, Bill. Bruce, sorry.
Well, don't start getting into truth-telling and not truth-telling, Don, because that's not what we're trying to do here. The facts are, and you know, we saw the president say it to himself in front of John McCain and Eric Cantor and the other members of the Republican leadership when they did meet briefly. They said, "Hey, John, elections have consequences. We won, you lost." And there was a very significant Democrat majority in Congress in both houses at that time. Now, I don't like what's happened here any more than Republicans felt shut out at the time. But the Democrats now have had several months, many months, dozens of months to work with Republicans before Trump became president to try to make tweaks to Obamacare that might make it salvageable over a long-term basis. The Democrats' fallback, Don, has always been single-pay system. And that's what their plan is today. If Obamacare crashes, we go to a single payer system, and that clearly is not what the voters and the healthcare recipients in this country want to see happen.
Hmm. Actually, a significant number do, but let's just look at what actually happened then and what's happening now. The Democrats did offer a number of ongoing improvements, bills that would improve Obamacare year after year when the Republican had the majority. And the Republicans simply shut them out and voted, I don't recall how many times, perhaps 43 times, simply to repeal Obamacare. No bills came from the Republican side during that time. Now, as Bruce points out, they won the election. Election have consequences, and now we're seeing the consequences. Democrats have proposed improvements to the House bill. They've proposed improvements to the Senate bill. They have been literally shut out. No invitations from the White House, no invitations from the Republican leadership to the Democrats to participate in this process. And as we've seen now with the Senate bill, you had 13 Republican men behind closed doors drafting this bill that only saw the light of day, I believe, on Thursday, and they want to rush this through in about 10 days to pass a bill that affects every single American. When Obamacare was reviewed, it went through 14 months of open hearings with all constituents who were affected by it, individuals, drug companies, hospitals, healthcare providers. We're seeing none of that here. We're seeing this rush through. Single payer is one option that the Democrats have proposed, but they've also proposed a number of other options. Senator Warren, Senator Franken have proposed additional bills to reduce the cost of prescription drugs, for example, to increase to change the factors related to improving coverage for Medicaid. These have simply been ignored by the Republican
Senate. I'm just wondering what happens if this thing doesn't pass. I just wonder, where are we then, Bruce Ash?
Well, I think we're on a course where Obamacare will continue and finalize the implosion that's been going on now for some period of time. And it's easy to scapegoat on both sides. And I think Don and I are honest enough with one another in our own dealings to admit that both sides have not handled this as well as they could. This is a very, very partisan issue. Mm-hmm. It's one where hundreds and hundreds of elections were won or lost on this. This is not an election strategy. This is about health care, our access to health care. I would disagree with Don a little bit in terms of the quality of health care that we have in this country. There is great quality. My son is in a hospital in Washington, D.C., had an emergency appendectomy last night, a very serious case. You know, boom, he was in surgery at GW Hospital within 2 hours. They're treating his infection. They're treating his pain. You know, and that's a fairly minor thing, but it shows the immediate access to health care. He, by the way, is a federal employee, and he has pretty good health care coverage.
But
all people like you and me ought to have a similar kind of a program with that kind of access to healthcare. Where we are having problems, fellas, is being able to expand the healthcare profession in terms of the number of doctors and nurses and other medical professionals that are needed to take on the millions more people that have become part of the healthcare system.
Yes, and what does that take? It takes money, and the money's being cut to provide that to folks that don't have that level of federal insurance coverage or have the means to purchase that level of high-quality care that's available.
Don, half the people who signed up for the bronze coverage have now dropped out.
All right, let's go to Richard, who has been waiting very patiently. Hello, Richard. How are you today?
Great, Bill, on this hot, hot week.
Thank you.
Say, you guys, you know, Obamacare is a socialist program that's been piled on top of a corrupted capitalist system. A system that's consolidated and merged into de facto monopolies. Then we put a socialist system on top of that in the form of Obamacare. You know, I don't think it's going to work any way you look at it. I think when the Republicans overturn it, our costs are still going to be skyrocketing. Our policies out here, mine's tripled in 4 years as an independent American. We're going to continue to climb. So I don't know. I think the dishonest conversation among the Democrats and Republicans, Bill, they will not talk about breaking up these monopolies. They are owned by these corporations.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, I think we're all in agreement that the idea would be for, as Bruce said, the Republicans to open the doors, to sit down with the Democrats, stop the posturing on both sides, and really look at the entire system, because the system as it stands now with Obamacare weakened by the Republicans, and it started out flawed, it's been made worse, isn't the answer. The Senate health bill isn't the answer, and just continue to fight about who's worse isn't going to improve outcomes or access to care.
Hmm. Well, the matter shouldn't be an election winner or loser, but it will be a loser for both parties. And Don and I were commenting before we went on air here today that perhaps both Republicans and Democrats, some of them need to be slapped around a little bit and have some challenges within their own party, because we elected our leaders to go to Washington and Phoenix, you know, when we elect statewide, to solve things and not to create more problems. And it seems like that's what we've had a lot of since Obamacare was passed.
Absolutely correct.
Thank you, Don Jorgensen. Good to see you very much.
Thank you.
Bruce Ash, always a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing is pleased to present our Monday Political Face-Off. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgowrie.com, and they're on Facebook. And you know what Bruce Ash and myself certainly think about Moe's. 5-star, right, Mr. Ash?
6-star. And Moe, when I was at Dodger Stadium yesterday, I saw some very cool things that I now have great new ideas for new Dodger stuff in my office.
All right, we'll be
right
back.
I'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a somewhat cooler day than we've been having. I guess it's a varying couple of degrees anyway. Green Things is one of our fine sponsors. As I posted on Facebook, yes, this is really the plants in the garden really struggling. I've been out there watering twice a day, and the folks at Green Things say that's the way to go, especially if you've got pots with plants in them. Make sure you water the pots. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. Check it out. They have everything you need for your garden at Green Things. Let's welcome now Joel Feinman, who is the Pima County Public Defender. Joel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
This is your first appearance with us since being named a couple of months ago, right?
Yes.
How time flies? How long has it been?
My first day as Public Defender was May 2nd.
People ask you this, I'm sure, all the time. There's kind of a disconnect. People do not really understand what a public defender is. Am I on?
100% accurate.
Okay.
Yeah, people don't. People have a lot of misconceptions about what a public defender's job is.
What is a public defender's job?
The job is to defend the Constitution, to protect and defend our rights as Americans. It's to protect and defend our right to not be mistreated by people in positions of power. It's to protect and defend our right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty in accordance with the Constitution of the United States. I mean, I always say, if you like the First Amendment, freedom of speech, if you like the Second Amendment, right to bear arms, then you have to like the Fifth and Sixth Amendment, right to an attorney. And if you like all those amendments, then you got to love public defenders, because we defend them all.
And how is the Public Defender's Office set up here in Pima County? So you have... attorneys who work in the office. How big a staff do you have in all of that?
We have more than 150 people in the public defender's office. We have more than 70 attorneys. We have a juvenile division. We have an adult division. We have an appellate division. So our attorneys defend everybody in Pima County who is indigent, who can't afford an attorney, who's accused of felonies. We only defend people accused of felonies, not misdemeanors.
In your run for Pima County Attorney, you talked a lot about justice reform. Are you able to still talk and maybe implement some of that justice reform in your current position?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the job, the reason I ran for county attorney and the reason I'm excited to be back at the public defender's office is because my priorities and my concerns haven't changed, which is, as you said, reform, criminal justice reform. And it has to come from all of us. As public defender, I hope and I know that I'm going to be able to continue to pursue that priority of reform, because our criminal justice system has gotten out of control, fiscally out of control, philosophically and morally out of control. And it's time that we bring it back under control.
So in many ways, this is a return for you to the office, correct?
Yes, it's where I started my legal career and spent 8 years as a trial attorney.
So it's very familiar, the situation.
It is. It's a nice homecoming.
So what about budget-wise? You have to go before the Pima County Board of Supervisors to determine your budget. Is that how it's set up?
Yes, that's correct. The Board of Supervisors approves the public defender budget, all the budgets of the public defense offices in Pima County, because mine is not the only one. The legal defender's budget is also approved by the Board of Supervisors. We get our money from them, and we use it to best defend the people of Pima County and best ensure that they have the services they need when they're faced with criminal charges.
We're speaking with Joel Fineman, the relatively newly named public defender for Pima County. Let's go back to let's dig a little deeper into this justice reform. What are some issues in Arizona justice reform, Joel, that you think need fixing really as soon as possible?
We have too many people in prison, Bill. Arizona, depending on what month you measure, has the fifth or sixth highest incarceration rate per capita, per 100,000 people in the entire world. 60% of our county general fund goes towards criminal justice. So the next time you have people from the Chamber of Commerce on talking about taxes, or you have concerned citizens on your show talking about roads and they want to know why our taxes are the way they are, why our roads aren't getting paved, criminal justice. We are spending so much money putting so many people behind bars who
don't
belong there.
That's never talked about when you talk about why the roads aren't getting
paved. It's not. And we can't pave our roads and we can't educate our children until we address criminal justice reform.
So we're putting too many people behind bars.
Far too many people behind bars.
And what would be some of the crimes that people shouldn't be behind bars for?
Drug possession, drug paraphernalia possession, what used to be charged as, you know, bar fights, misdemeanor bar fights, which are now being charged as felony aggravated assault with intent to commit serious bodily injury. Juveniles that used to be sent to detention are now being sent to a different kind of detention. They used to be sent to detention at their schools. They're now being sent to detention down at the Juvenile Justice Center. But the war on drugs has really taken its toll in Arizona. Month after month, according to the Arizona Department of Corrections, the highest percentage of people in Arizona prisons are there for drug offenses. Every single month, as far back as I've looked at the statistics. Why are we spending...
Marijuana?
Marijuana included. Why are we spending $27,000 a year to keep nonviolent drug offenders in jails and prisons? And what I say to my Republican friends, my conservative friends, especially Mr. DeSimone, when I talk to him in the morning, is we are funding the largest and most expensive welfare program in our country's history. If you really want to cut welfare, if you're a fiscal conservative who wants to end welfare as we know it, then the criminal justice system should be your first target. You should be on board the criminal justice reform wagon, because you, the taxpayer, is spending $27,000 a year to keep somebody on welfare. Three meals a day, behind bars, all their bedding, all their clothes, all their medical expenses, you're paying for that because they're an addict.
And we're not saying this is something that, hey, you have to look to the federal government. This is something that could be changed by the lawmakers in Phoenix.
The lawmakers in Phoenix, absolutely. I mean, our criminal justice laws, the ones that the public defender is concerned with, the ones that the Pima County is concerned with, are only state laws. We only deal with state laws. The federal system's entirely different.
So it's interesting with this whole thing about legalization of marijuana. There hasn't been any kind of a reconsideration in the legal system about the severity of marijuana crimes.
Correct.
There doesn't seem to be any correlation with, people are still going and are in prison for marijuana possession?
Yes, they are. In the Arizona Department of Corrections, if you look on their website, they have a monthly snapshot and you can see exactly how many people are in Arizona Department of Corrections for marijuana possession any given month. And it's usually a couple of hundred.
How about plea bargaining in this county?
Plea bargaining is always the way that 95 to 99% of all cases are disposed of, is through plea agreements. Yeah.
Good
very
thing
few
or
cases
bad.
Go to trial. Very few cases go to trial.
Good or bad?
It's bad because one of our most fundamental rights as Americans is the right to a jury trial, is the right to have a jury of our peers sit and hear the evidence and determine whether or not we're guilty of the crime charged. By putting so much power in the hands of the prosecutor through mandatory minimum sentences and the discretion to offer pleas or not offer pleas, we have taken that power away from our peers, the trial jury, and given it to the hands of one person who's elected every 4 years and their deputies who are never elected. So again, if you're a constitutional conservative, if you believe in a strict interpretation of the Constitution, if you're a strict constructionalist, then this upsets you as much as it upsets my liberal friends.
Joel Feinman with us, public defender here in Pima County. I'm just curious, how is your relationship with the Pima County Attorney's Office? Is there a, quote, any bad blood between you and Barbara LaWall?
No. Ms. LaWall is a professional. It's politics. It's not personal. She understands that. I understand that. And, you know, all's fair in love and politics. And at the end of the day, when it's time to do business, we put our personal feelings aside and do business. But my relationship with her and her staff has always, even during the campaign, was always positive.
Joel Feinman. Thank you very much, Joel.
Thank you, Bill.
And congratulations with your appointment to head up the Public Defender's Office, a large office here in Pima County. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, coming up on 1244 on The Buckmaster Show, we will be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. They had some nice rain over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where the monsoon has already started. It usually begins over along kind of the New Mexico-Arizona border over in that area, and then eventually we'll get it. But bottom line, it's a good getaway. 3-hour drive over to Silver City. The Gila National Wilderness starting to green up, so make a good outing for you. southwestnewmexico.org is the website. That's the good starting point for all the recreation opportunities. There's a list of at least 20 things to do and about a couple of dozen great places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now for his monthly visit, and today it is telephonically, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, which celebrates and has celebrated its 45th year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. He's the recipient of the Mazursky Award for outstanding service to planetary science. Dr. Sykes, how are you? Mark?
Can you hear me, Bill?
We can hear you. Mark, how are you?
I am fine. Okay. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're not on a speakerphone, are you?
I am, but I can go off of it.
Yes, go off it if you would, because that's better.
Perfect.
That's better for
perfect.
Us.
Perfect.
I was just going to say, to start with, congratulations in order to one of your colleagues at PSI.
Yes, Henry Throop has won an award from the State Department for his outreach activities as a spouse of a Foreign Service officer. I was just in Washington on Tuesday seeing him get that award. It was quite a lot of people in the State Department were getting presentations, including a person who had single-handedly stopped a coup in Burkina Faso.
What?
And put his life at risk. I mean, just these are amazing people, and so it was quite an honor that Henry was being recognized for all his work. He goes out to villages and gives public lectures all over South Africa, wherever his wife is stationed. They're now in Mumbai, India, and he's giving talks around India, up in Nepal, and other places.
And one of your senior scientists has made a discovery of a powerful magnetic field.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, Kepler has been an amazing spacecraft. It's discovered more than 4,000 potential planets around other stars, over 2,000 of which have been confirmed, over 30 of which are Earth-like objects, or kind of in the category of the size of the Earth. Now, some of these things are pretty close to the stars, so they're very hot. And but you can measure things like that there's winds on them, because you can determine whether the hot part of the planet is right facing the star or shifted off to one side or the other as it orbits when you make some thermal measurements of it. Well, there is one planet where this hot point shifting back and forth, you know, east to west, and that was a real puzzle. Hmm. Because it shouldn't do that. And so our scientist, Tammy Rogers, figured out that, well, you know, when you have a large magnetic field, that this kind of behavior, you know, can arise. And she, you know, I tell you, Bill, I completely respect people who do magnetic field work, because it's beyond my skill set. Okay, and so she was able to demonstrate that this strong magnetic field of an exoplanet orbiting another star was the cause of this effect. So now we have a way of measuring magnetic field strength in these super Jupiters that orbit close to other stars.
Understand you have a special guest with you visiting PSI headquarters here in Tucson.
We do. We have Colonel Pamela Melroy, who is a pilot and commander of the space shuttle.
Yeah, she served as pilot on two space shuttle missions and commanded a third before retiring in August in 2009. Would you be able to put her on the line so I could ask her a couple quick questions?
Absolutely. Here she is.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Colonel Melroy, Bill Buckmaster. How are you?
It's a pleasure to meet you, Bill. Please call me Pam.
Pam, nice to meet you. I wanted to ask you, Pam, what do you see as kind of the next step in American human exploration activity?
Well, it's been kind of a long road since the shuttle retired, and there's a lot of work going on, but there's a reason why they call it rocket science, and it takes a while to do. So the exciting news is that within the next couple of years, we should be seeing at least two or three spacecraft taking humans that launch from the United States. And one of them is the NASA lunar-capable spacecraft called Orion. And then NASA has also been funding SpaceX and Boeing to develop human-capable spacecraft that can take people to and from the space station commercially, kind of like a rental car. So that will be extremely interesting to see. And in fact, the last shuttle mission left a little special flag up on the space station to be claimed by the first human that launched from the United States again, and then they get to keep it.
Were you? I think I'm just anticipating an answer that you probably were very sad with the shuttle retirement. Is that correct?
I think it was bittersweet for all of us. We recognize that you have to stop doing things if you want to do new things. There's only so much money to go around, and it's, you know, the same experience you have when you give up your old car for a brand new car, move out of your old house into a new house. You have to stop doing things so that you have enough money to start something new. On the other hand, I think that we won't see anything of the incredible capability of the space shuttle again for a long, long time. So the vehicles that are currently being designed are much more efficient, and they're much smaller, and they're essentially designed as simple transportation systems. But the space shuttle was, you know, magnificent. It, you know, you could spacewalk from it, and it had a robot arm, and it could carry a huge amount of cargo, not just up into space, but back down to Earth, which is really unique.
You did a spacewalk, didn't you?
Well, no, I was the commander, and it's too dangerous to send the commander out because someone has to land
the
space shuttle.
That's right. I'm just curious, what happened then to the shuttles? Where are they now, the vehicles?
Well, there was a massive competition, which was, you know, extremely hotly contested from museums all around the United States. And Endeavour wound up at the California Science Center in Los Angeles. Atlantis is down at the Kennedy Space Center at their Spaceport Visitor Center. Mm. And Discovery, which I flew twice, I'm happy to say, is at the National Air and Space Museum, which is fairly close to where I live. I'm in the D.C. area now, so I get to go out and visit Discovery whenever I want.
What percentage now are women that are involved with the space program as astronauts, would you say?
Well, it's quite extraordinary, actually. There was a new class of astronauts selected just about 2 weeks ago, and I think it was of the 12, 5 were women. Hmm. And in the previous class of 8, 4 were women. And that's quite unusual. The classes preceding that typically had something on the order of 2 or 3 out of 20. And so I think the ratio is changing somewhat. But the overall numbers are still something like 65 women have been to space out of 500 people, so it's still a fairly small number.
Did you, as a little girl, want to go to space?
I did. I was fascinated by everything to do with space, which is why I studied astronomy and planetary science in undergrad and grad school, and then I became a pilot. So I still have that dream. You know, it's on my bucket list to go to the moon.
You know, the whole thing was science and math and what they call the STEM field. Really, women, young women, are excelling in that area. So maybe that's part of this, what's translating into more female astronauts.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that the encouragement that we have been giving to girls to study science mm-hmm. has been making a difference.
Pam, thank you very much. Colonel Melroy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks a
lot. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Retired Air Force Colonel Pam Melroy served as a pilot on two space shuttle missions and commanded a third before leaving the agency in 2009. She was with us visiting with Dr. Mark Sykes over at the Planetary Science Headquarters, which is right here in Tucson, Arizona. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We still have lots of local talk coming up. We do a full hour. Of course, we do our noon hour, but then at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5, Mike Check is the name of the program. The host is Mike Shaw. Give it a listen. Ray Allen will be involved with that program this afternoon, as he always is with Mike. Then we do the 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone from 6 to 9. And, of course, in between all of that, some of the great national programs that we carry, like Michael Medved. His show will be coming up right after the top of the hour. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon and evening. Try to stay cool.